broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome back to our program. And we're here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And truth is our bitch on this show, so, you know, let the chips fall where they may, baby. As
Buffalo Bill said.
That's very funny.
Old joke, man. I don't care.
Okay, thanks, bud. Also, our website, philhendryshow.com. That's Phil Hendry Show, as Buffalo Bill said. What do you think I'm doing here, huh? Some morning show from 1970?
That was funny.
Anyway, our website is philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and watch live streaming video of our show right now if you'd like. Listen to thousands of hours of archived radio. We are the only radio show that has archived the individual shows to the extent that we have. So I don't know about anybody else, but we have the largest single radio show archive anywhere in the world, and we're continuing to add to it each and every day. We also are giving away one free month of listening on our website. So we have access to all of the things that people with a backstage pass have access to, our archived video, our archived audio, as well as all of our character clips, as well as all of the other miscellaneous, marvelous things. And our Terry, who is Terry?
Talking about Bobby.
Yeah, Bobby Dooley blog and our Ted Bell blog. I was going to say Terry Bell. Boy, Ted wouldn't like that. Our Ted Bell and Bobby Dooley blogs are there. So here's all you have to do to enter a drawing for one free month of The Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. You either go to our fan page and like our fan page, and I'll tell you the fan page is facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, PHANS. If you've already liked that fan page, you have another option. You can go over to Twitter and go to Phil Hendry Show. That's twitter.com/PhilHendryShow and hashtag PHS over there at Phil Hendry Show on Twitter. So two options, both of them just magnificent and marvy. And we'll do a drawing at the end of this month for one free month, the month of November, for you. And we'll be giving away a free month ongoing until we get tired and bored of that and we think of something else really cool to do. Or we somehow fall upon some Spanish doubloons. We raise a wreck that's worth billions, and we just walk away from this gig once and for all. But barring that, we will continue on the best way we know how. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Haven't talked to Terry Broomfield in a long time. Terry is a writer and reporter for National News, and we're going to be talking about the phone hacking scandal that was, as you know, that was all the rage this past summer. And, of course, it embroiled the businesses of Rupert Murdoch in international imbroglio, as well as the, you know, all of the scandal that that attended his appearance there before the House of Commons. And I guess we're all going to remember, Terry, the scene of that guy, whoever it was, throwing the pie in Murdoch's face. Terry, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm right here, Phil.
Okay, you remember the pie that went into Murdoch's face?
Oh, yeah. Rupert Murdoch is who you're talking about, and that was a circus in the House of Commons this past summer. More the young bride of Rupert Murdoch coming to his defense, attacking the individual who threw that pie, who's a second-tier comic in the nightclub circuit, the cabaret circuit in England. But it was the harbinger of things to come, because Rupert Murdoch and his son James have not escaped public scrutiny and more the public scorn over this phone hacking scandal that has now extended itself into this terribly, terribly traumatic story of the schoolgirl whose phone was hacked, and the family that has that was going to sue Rupert Murdoch, but instead decided not to. He settled $3.2 million, and a very unseemly, I think, end to the saga. As I see it, I don't think that there will ever be an end to this saga, but I think it's a very unseemly.
Now, Rupert Murdoch, in paying this family $3.2 million, a slain schoolgirl whose phone was hacked by his tabloid newspaper, News of the World, you said to me that you felt they were being too harshly criticized. And you even went so far as to write in one of your columns that phone hacking, limited numbers or limited amounts of phone hacking is necessary. Can you explain that?
Well, I think that the amount of phone hacking we're talking about is not significant. It's not in peril to the privacy of people. When you're hacking into the phone of Scarlett Johansson or a major film star or a major international personality, you have to be mindful that they are people whose reputations hang in the balance. One small word to the negative, you can destroy someone's reputation for a long time. The private citizen, a smaller private citizen, a lesser-known private citizen, does not run that quite near the risk. In order for me to do my job, and in order for a lot of reporters to do their jobs these days, we have to be creative. We've got to find different ways to access information. I don't believe that the hacking of a schoolgirl's phone who had committed suicide is the most tasteful or most sensitive thing in the world to do. And if I were a reporter, I would do everything in my power not to have to resort to that. However, the young lady was not known to this day. No one really knows her name. It's been protected as well it should be. The phone belongs now to no one. He hacked into a phone that was the property of a young girl, but she committed suicide, so it was not the property of anyone. And thirdly, unless we're allowed to do a limited amount of phone hacking in exchange for whatever information we're able to gather, we give to the police, we cannot do our jobs anymore because this is the environment we're living in right now.
Are you telling me that you guys ought to be allowed to hack phones?
Now, what I'm telling you is that we need access to information, and we have a increasingly competitive and very much increasingly, Machiavellian and dogmatic approach to the control of the press now. I'm not saying we don't have a free press, but we constantly find ourselves cut out of and shut out of certain areas.
No, but what I'm asking you is this, Tim or Terry, you're saying... that's why I said Terry, by the way, because we had Terry on as a guest.
It's not Terry. It's not Terry Bell. It's not Ted Broomfield either. It's Terry.
Right. Okay, so you're saying that you ought to be allowed to hack phones.
No, I'm not saying that quite. I'm saying that we should be a limited amount of access to the private phone conversations of individuals as long as they're not public personalities, and that is a celebrity or noted figures or well-known figures and so forth.
And why is that? And you know that people might react to that saying, well, that's just perfect. You're going to protect these celebrities. You're going to exploit little-known anonymous people, a little young girl who committed suicide, for God's sake. I can't believe you're not really defending hacking the phone of a girl who's committed suicide.
Well, I believe that's what I've done, you know.
Well, but understand.
But Phil, help me explain this to your audience. I'm not saying that the reporter hacked the phone. I would not hack the phone of a troubled youth or a troubled young lady, or, for instance, the young lady in Missouri, the Megan Meyer, who committed suicide after being harassed by that neighbor. But this was a phone that had been owned but was no longer owned by this girl.
Because she committed suicide.
Technically, that is exactly right. And so she committed suicide, and so her phone no longer had an owner. And if you're hacking in, and that's the technical, I'm being very technical now, Phil. We can get into the human side of this in a moment, but I'm being very technical, and I'm approaching it from the job that I've got to do. And the job that I've got to do is file a report and file a story that people are going to read. And
well, you know what? There's a lot of reasons why people read stories. Sometimes they read them because they're really interesting, but they have nothing to do with the facts. You know?
I'm advocating for facts. I'm advocating for facts.
Well, yes, you are, but you're advocating for facts at the expense of privacy.
No, I'm not. I'm not advocating for facts at the expense of privacy. I'm advocating for facts in exchange for information that can further secure society. So I'm asking for the right to be able to hack a telephone for a news story if I exchange what information I have found with the police or with the security services or with people who would be interested in information I've found. I use it for my news story, and they use whatever else I might have found And
so you become some kind of a de facto Gestapo agent, you know?
Well, I don't want to be that dramatic, Phil. I don't think we have to go to the historic comparisons of Hitler either, you know?
But in a lot of ways, all right, so, but you're not Gestapo, but it's like you're an informer. You know what I'm saying?
No, we're not a citizen, an anonymous citizen dropping an information slip into a box that no one knows who we are, and we're informing on someone. Everyone knows who I am, and everyone who reads my work knows who I am. Everyone knows our news service. Nobody is trying to hide. We're saying that we're trying to survive, and the only way to survive as a reporter, as a journalist, as a gatherer of information in this day and age is by having access to telephones, to hack telephones of individuals that are not super personalities. And that's where I'm drawing the line right here.
All right, so you're drawing the line at Scarlett Johansson. You're drawing the line at anybody that's famous. And to you, that is a concession. And
it's not so much a concession. It's actually a financial consideration. Because if you hack the phone of a Scarlett Johansson, she has attorneys that are going to, in a civil case, are going to take you to court, and they're most probably going to attempt to outlast the corporate resources of the company that they're suing, because she has the money to hire the lawyers. If on the other end of the example, you're hacking the phone of a private citizen who's not particularly well known, and they have decided to turn and sue you civilly, you can certainly, with the resources of a major news corporate, major news agency or a publication or what have you, can contend with that in the courtroom much more readily.
All right, so you've got the money to back down a private citizen whose phone you've hacked, even though, you know, you're saying what you're doing is legal and maybe they filed a lawsuit against you. And so the little guy loses again. That's what I'm hearing here.
I don't see how the little guy loses again. The little guy's me. The little guy is every other journalist. You know, how's the little guy losing when I'm trying to find ways to keep my profession afloat?
Well, you're doing it at the expense of someone. I mean, I think still the example of this girl who committed suicide, and so this reporter for News of the World went in and hacked her telephone, and you know, this is just, excuse me for saying it, this is just the bottom of the barrel, you know?
Well, it sounds like the bottom of the barrel, unless you look at it straight on and factually. He did not hack her phone. He hacked a phone.
Well, you're saying, okay, it wasn't her phone because she was no longer alive, and so it wasn't owned by anybody.
I'm saying that, and I'm also saying that this was vital information, most likely for the safety of the of young people, vital information on mental health, vital information on the state of thinking and being of our youth today. No, I don't think there was anything wrong. I think we had, and on top of that, to be able to scoop the story the way he did, I think ensured further employment and further the furthering of our profession much more along the way.
All right, Terry Broomfield is with us here. He is talking to us tonight from London, and the conversation we're having is about phone hacking. The hacking of this phone, a girl who had committed suicide, by a News of the World reporter was at the center of, and there were other examples of this controversy surrounding Rupert Murdoch over this past summer. Terry's saying that the game of journalism and reporting is so competitive now that you have to be allowed a limited amount of hacking, at least a limited amount of hacking of the phones of unknown people. Celebrities should still be protected. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we're online at philhenryshow.com. And we'll be right back with Terry Broomfield here in just one moment.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
A little bit of coffee and a little small amount of cream, please.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and Terry Broomfield is on the line with us here as we're discussing the hacking scandal, the Rupert Murdoch hacking scandal. Let me just put it to you straight so that there is no misunderstanding. I respect you, Terry. But anybody that hacks phones, any reporter that hacks phones, I don't think much of that individual. Rupert Murdoch, who was able to slime his way around the House of Commons this summer, gave a whole lot of doublespeak, gave a whole lot of double talk, is obviously split with his son, so maybe it isn't so much Rupert as is the son. I think that guy sets the tone. Anybody who runs a company sets the tone. And, you know, they tried to fire him, and they were not able to fire him. Do you think he should have been fired?
Well, I will tell you this right now, Phil. I don't know, in my opinion. I can tell what your opinion is obviously you think he should have been fired. I don't think that I don't think the whole story's come out, to be honest. It's impossible for the corporate head of any entity to know what's going on in every little division that his company owns.
Well, I mean, but that's the excuse, isn't it? That's what they say. They say, well, it's impossible for me to know everything. But the competitive nature of the business that you have just pointed out, coupled with the fire that is in the gut of the individuals that are managing and motivating, coupled with a certain, I don't know, corporate culture, why can't I lay this at the feet of Rupert Murdoch?
Well, you can lay it at the feet of Rupert. You can lay at the feet of Rupert Murdoch the competitiveness of the company. But then the entire profession is very competitive. And that's why I'm on your program this evening saying something that might be an icebreaker, if you will, or something that can move this debate forward. And that is that we have to be very upfront in saying that we're going to attempt to hack into the public airwaves, which do carry the signals of these cellular communications. We're not tapping into a fixed land communication. We're not tapping into a fixed telephone line communication so much as we are eavesdropping on a publicly transmitted signal over the public airwaves. This is something in the United States that's controlled by the Federal Communications Commission, and in Great Britain it's controlled by UKI. These are the federal communications authorities, and So is it really hacking or is it eavesdropping? And if I use the information that I have supposedly hacked and I give that to the police and the police act on it, then why isn't that a legal action? I've got to keep my living going. I've got to keep my profession going. I've got to...
Then why wouldn't it keep your profession going more readily if you were hacking into Scarlett Johansson?
I'm not going to hack into Scarlett Johansson for a number of reasons. These are powerful people that you have to keep on your side. I know it sounds hypocritical to say that I'd rather tap into the phone that was at one time owned by a girl that eventually committed suicide. It was at one time owned by a girl. The girl committed suicide, and now the phone is not owned by anyone. And
well, what does that mean, that it's not owned by anyone? The law says that all of these items, all of these personal effects revert to or are in fact the control of the, or in the control of the family. And she was a minor, and
that all of that is true. But you asked me, was it hacking into a privately owned telephone? I'm telling you, no. While the phone is in the care of the family, it was owned by this girl. When the girl committed suicide, the phone suddenly was unowned. It was just a phone that happened to have that was turned on.
Well, what do you mean it was just a phone that was turned on?
Exactly what I said. So,
all right, but you're telling me that the phone no longer is owned by anyone, and so anything that's on or in that phone, you can hack into.
Well, first of all, no one's using the phone. There's no one using the phone. There's no phone conversation that's going on, so I'm not, quote, hacking into a phone conversation. I'm not eavesdropping a phone conversation. What I am doing is accessing a unit that is unowned. And the law says that possession is 9 points law. Now, I don't have that phone in my possession, but I know where it is, and I know how to get into it. So doesn't that mean, in some sense, I have some de facto ownership?
And aren't you doing a whole lot of flips and twists, man, and a whole lot of mental gymnastics to try and, you know, to try to justify what you're doing here?
No, I'm not doing that at all.
Well, you're saying that here is a phone that no one owns, and so therefore it's sort of like lost, and so I think I'll just pick it up and hack into it. In this instance, you're not picking it up and hacking into it, but you're getting into the phone, and there's nobody to tell you not to do it. except for the family members. And eventually this guy, you know, Murdoch was eventually had to pay out an out-of-court settlement of $3.2 million. So the court acknowledges that it was privately held.
The court may acknowledge that. What I'm saying is, in fact, it is not the case. And we have to recognize what the fact of the case is. And then, and only then, can reporters begin to do their jobs. If I'm able to access private information off of your phone, Phil, and I'm not going to tell anybody except the police, if there's something the police need to know, that's all I'm going to do. And why are you, unless you're doing something...
Phil Hendry.
We'll be right back.
What's that?
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with us here is Terry Broomfield. He is with National News as we continue talking to Terry about the phone hacking scandal. And that the most recent bit of information from the phone hacking scandal is a $3.2 million payout to the family of a girl who committed suicide whose phone was hacked by his newspaper, Mr. Murdoch, News of the World. Terry, you're talking about the necessity of hacking telephones for reporters to do their job, and the need for the hacking of telephones to stop at private citizens, to stop at regular people and not extend to celebrities. And I don't know that you've exactly, backed that up.
I've mentioned it.
Well, no, you've said that, you want to be protected from the lawsuits of famous and powerful people, which means you want to hack the little guy.
No, it's not the case.
That's exactly what you want to do.
It's not the case we want to hack the little guy, is the way you put it. The reality is the little guy, if you want to call him the little guy, is the average citizen, is an individual who is in less of a position to damage my profession or damage my newspaper, damage my broadcasting company, what have you, with a lawsuit. Because he may not have the resources that a Scarlett Johansson or some other person has. And so to hack their phone...
Well, no, wait a minute. This was a private citizen. This was the family of a private citizen who you say the reporter had every right to hack her phone because she was no longer alive, so the phone wasn't owned by anybody. But the fact is, Murdoch had to pay this out. This was... 3.2 million pounds, it was 2 million pounds, $3.2 million, ordered by a court in Great Britain.
That's right. And our proposal would be the law would be changed. The law would be changed so that it is legal to hack the phone of an individual whose economic prowess or their earnings are at such a level as that it's realistic. And
so you want a law that says you can hack the phone of somebody who's not making a lot of money?
Well, I didn't say that, but I did say that we want to be able to hack the phone of individuals that make a certain amount of money, so there's a less of a chance that that person will have the resource to sue us. But again, you're missing the trade-off. The trade-off is that I hack into the phone of that individual, I give that information to the police, whatever information I can. And you call that informing, or Gestapo, and I found that I wasn't offended so much as I was... shocked at the lack of reality there.
You don't think that that's informing on someone. As a reporter, you're hacking into their phone, and then if you hear of any illegal activity, you turn this stuff over to the police? And you don't feel that makes you into some sort of a minion for the government, for the police?
No, I don't. Not at all, no. There have been many, many examples of the press working hand-in-hand with the police in order to ferret out... criminals and lawbreakers. No, I don't consider that at all. As I said, I've got a job to do, and I'm going to do that job to the very best. Otherwise, I don't know what else to do. Our profession is slowly rotting from the inside out,
And what? Well, what's happening to it is the lack of planning on the part of the people that own the newspapers and the broadcast companies and the competition you're getting from the internet and a million and one other things.
Right, all right. And I've heard that speech before, but I'm saying that the way to address the situation is with these solutions that I've given. And unless people want to take it seriously. I'm going to be out of a job. A lot of newspaper reporters are going to be out of a job, but it's not going to be a very, very pleasant situation at all for all concerned. So that's my most concern.
We'll go to a phone call here, and Jerry, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hi, Phil. The reporter you have on the phone right now reminds me of a man that I heard speaking once at a university when I went to a lecture hall. I was taking a history class, and he said that, and this was a man, by the way, who represented a political party of which I will not mention the name, and he said, you know, in show business, they have a guy who sweeps up behind the elephant. And when someone approached the guy that sweeps behind the elephant and said, why do you do such a dirty job? He said, what, and get out of show business? And your guest reminds me of that guy. You are saying to him, Phil, very intelligently, why are you doing this? Your profession, it seems, is an anachronism, and perhaps it's time to reassess the profession, but why are you, instead of reassessing your profession, indulging in this kind of cleaning up behind the elephant?
Well, I don't know if the gentleman's finished.
Yes, I'm waiting for your answer, because I don't see any difference between what you're doing and the guy who had the broom and was cleaning up behind the elephant and said, what, and get out of show business?
Right, I heard your example, sir, and I'm not quite sure that it applied, but nonetheless, I think I understand what you're saying, that I'm in a profession that I find to be less than successful as an enterprise. I'm a good reporter, but how many reporters are we going to need in the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years when everyone is a reporter, you know?
Well, that's the whole point. I don't know why I need a circus to go to when I can open up my laptop and I've got a virtual circus on my laptop, you see. And
all right, well, you guys are talking about the internet. That it seems like everything...
Well, that's exactly right.
Well, everything gets back to the internet these days. Everything gets back to that. But what this gentleman, what you're saying here, Jerry, I think is...
Well, I'll tell you what I'm saying. I'm saying... If the only job you have to do in the circus is to clean up behind the elephant, then I'd get out of show business, you know?
Well, I don't think that what I do is clean up behind an elephant by a far side.
Well, I do. I do.
Well, I can tell you, sir, that I'm not characterizing your profession as scooping up the dung of an animal.
I didn't tell you what my profession was, but you're talking about your profession. That's what we're talking about right now.
That's exactly correct. You're right. But I will, and if you want to say that I'm in less than a noble profession, well, by all means, you're more than welcome to do that, and you're more than welcome to say that. But don't do it in a roundabout and less than honest way by saying, well, it reminds me of this and that. It took you about at least a full minute to spit out what it was you were trying to say with a ridiculous comparison to the man that scoops up behind the elephant.
Well, you know, okay, point made, but you still haven't answered my question. If you're scooping up behind an elephant, why are you still in show business?
And I believe I answered your question. The answer to my question.
What? No, you're answering my question.
The answer to your question, right?
Yeah, I asked the question, and you're answering your question.
I'm answering your question right now.
No, he's answering your question, Jerry.
Right, I'm answering your question, and your question is why am I still in show business? Because I'm a damn good. And you're asking me about the man who sweeps up behind the elephant. Because I'm a damn good acrobat. Because I'm a damn good...
Well, I don't think so. I don't think so, and I don't think a lot of readers think so.
Excuse me, but I'm a damn good acrobat. And a lot of readers do think so. We've got a very healthy circulation. We just don't have the vibrant circulation, and we don't have the vibrant the reporting that we used to have, because we're kept out of so many things. And
well, you're saying being kept out of things is not being able to hack into the phone of a little girl that committed suicide. That's a fool's errand, my friend. And if I were that child's father, I would not want you to have access to that cell phone neither. And would you...
Let me ask you, Terry, would you want anybody to have access to your kid's phone if she'd committed suicide?
I would, if it was within reason, if there was information... And
your own kid I'm talking about now.
Yes, I would. Because I'd like to find out why the child committed suicide, and I'd like to know some things. One of the things parents don't have is access to their own children's computers and cell phones, and sometimes it takes them committing suicide for you to be able to get into the...
Well, that's the stupidest thing that I ever heard. That's the stupidest thing that I ever heard. And I've been on a trans-pack race, and I once juggled shot glasses, and I've never heard anything like that.
All right, Jerry, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL is our number here. We're talking with Terry Broomfield from the National News and his discussion of the hacking scandal last summer extending itself to today, where a $3.2 million payout, that is a £2 million payout, to a family of a girl who committed suicide by Rupert Murdoch, is bringing into full relief once again the idea of hacking phones, the tawdry and nasty and just lower than low business of hacking into the phone of a child that took her own life. What is at the root of all of this? And what is the profession of journalism and of reporting, what they used to call the Fifth Estate? Does it exist anymore? As we were just saying to Terry, is it just a matter of time before really it goes away and that everybody, you and me, we become the reporters, the blog... The online blog becomes our daily fare, and we are more and more responsible for our own news. We'll be back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We have Steve Bozell coming up next hour as well, so don't go away.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I don't even know how to hang the phone up. How do I hang the phone up?
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Last few minutes here with Terry Broomfield, and I really appreciate you, being on the line with us here, Terry, because I don't think that, it can't be easy, you know, where you're taking hits from people making the statements that you're making, but they're very controversial statements. You know, they're statements having to do with the use of hacked phones and the use of hacked information. In order to press home the case that you guys need this information so that you can write a news article, so I appreciate that, but I don't know how you can continue to make the argument that the hacked phone of a kid that committed suicide,
it's not an easy argument to make, Phil, but there's nothing I can do. I've got to keep above the fray and say, well, I've got a job to do. And I'm going to do that job the best way I know how. And if I have to, hack the phone of a 13-year-old girl who committed suicide by hanging herself from a beam in the garage, as sick as that is, and it's sick, there's no question. And I would go home at night and I would stare at myself in a mirror and I'd probably have to drink myself to sleep. Nonetheless, it's a living that I've got to make. And I'll make that living. Don't worry about it. I'll make that living. If it was yesterday, it's a different story. You know? It's four hits up there right now, so I'll make that living. Don't worry about it.
Okay, let's go to Ted in Beverly Hills on the Phil Hendry Show. Hey, Ted, how you been tonight? We have Terry Broomfield.
Hey, Phil, enjoying your program immensely. And Mr. Broomfield, I wanted to say that I've read your articles in the news, and I find them to be outstanding.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk a little bit. I own a restaurant. Phil is aware of Ted's of Beverly Hills as a freestanding business now for the last 35 years. Now, I don't know anything about the journalism game other than the fact that I know a lot of journalists, and I can tell you they have imbibed a large amount of my spirits at my...
As journalists will
at my cocktail lounge. In that way, I've gotten to know them. But in all seriousness, if you hacked my phone, and I am not necessarily a celebrity, but I can tell you this: I'll be dipped and redipped if you think I'm just a regular guy. Where does a guy like Ted Bell evolve?
Well, I'm not quite familiar with the your business. I know that you've got a steakhouse there in Beverly Hills,
and I'm very well known to a great many people in the entertainment industry.
Right. So, I would have to make a call on the side of hacking your phone, and here's why: you're not a celebrity. So, if you were to sue me, people in London or people in New York or people in Philadelphia, Paris, or places like this, they're not going to know the name Ted Bell. They'll know the name on the West Coast.
You better believe they will. In Hollywood, they'll know the name. In Hollywood.
That is true, but they're not going to know the names in New York and some of the other larger metropolitan areas of the world if this made it into the press. And
yeah, but they know the name in Hollywood is what I'm saying.
Now, you already made the point to know the name in Hollywood, but that's one town, Hollywood, you know. And yes, I would hack your phone, and I would very happily hack your phone.
And then, of course, I've got to sue you, and I have to sue you until the loss of blood makes you drop to the paper.
Well, then, of course, between you and my newspaper, because I'm indemnified, you know, I'm not...
You see, that's the part I can't take, Phil. You can't get at these guys because they're indemnified.
Well, they're not going to get a job. They're not going to be able to do their job unless they're indemnified by their company. You know,
but it bothers me because I can't get at. He's the guy that I'd want to get at. You know,
that's exactly. Of course, you want to get at me, but you're never going to get at me. And we know that in the newspaper business, we know it in the news gathering business, and so that's why all reporters are indemnified by their company, and they're protected from being individually named. Although a lot of people have tried.
Well, I got to tell you something. That really. So you would drag my name through the mud, and if I tried to sue you, I wouldn't be allowed to because you're indemnified by your company. And
well, you could do it, yeah, right, Terry?
Yeah, right. You could sue me, but ultimately, I'm not held responsible by my employment contract.
Well, that takes all the fun of the lawsuit out of the suit, because the only fun I'm going to have suing you would be suing you.
Right, well, I guess you're out of fun then, because you're not going to have any fun, because they're not going to let you sue me. It's not going to happen, you know.
Yeah. All right, Phil, that's all I had to say. I appreciate very much. I'm glad I could call up and help save your... and call in.
Thank you very much. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills here on the Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, as we're talking with Terry Broomfield here. And we're talking with Terry about the Rupert Murdoch phone hacking scandal. And what an unbelievable scandal it has been, because of the extent, because of the fact that it brought down this entire newspaper, Terry, the fact that News of the World, which was some 150 years old, gone.
Well, you know, Rupert Murdoch made that call, Phil. I don't think, and I mean this, I do not think News of the World had to be closed. I don't think they had to shutter that operation at all. I think it would have come back. I think it would have perhaps suffered a bit in the short term, but understand, newspapers, especially newspapers of the variety of News of the World, are being sued all the time. And people almost come to expect that a newspaper like News of the World is going to be sued. The phone hacking scandal could have been handled by firing, a very high-level firing of a lot of people, maybe even firing his own son, I don't know. Talking openly, maybe on a front page editorial about how we would not put up with this and we're not going to put up with that, but we're still going to continue to try and get the news that you want. We went overboard this time. At the bottom line, they never had to close that newspaper. But Rupert Murdoch closed that newspaper. And the reason why he closed that newspaper, I think, is to get that son and whoever else his son is associated with out of his life.
And oh, really?
I firmly believe that. I think he saw the opportunity to finally just cut his son loose and force this kid out into the world to make a living on his own, to make an honest living on his own, and not have to be tied to his daddy's apron strings, and go out and get a job, you know, as you like to say get a job, you know, as you like to say in America. And
do that again. That was very good.
Get a job, says somebody. You know, I guess I'll have to be in a talent show this year at the Christmas party. But
well, that was very good, you know. But nonetheless, I think it goes beyond a guy just, quote, getting a job. I think that, you know, this guy is a part of that corporation. He's a part of that company. He's part of that family. And is very much the heir apparent.
He might be the heir apparent, but I don't think Rupert Murdoch wants his son anywhere near his businesses. If anything were to happen to Rupert Murdoch, I think it would kill him quicker knowing that his son was about ready to take control. So keep an eye on the son. And if Rupert Murdoch does fall ill, keep an eye on him to die very quickly, because his heart won't be able to stand the strain of knowing his son is about to take over that company.
God, man, where did you get that information?
Because I've got ears in my head and I've got eyes in my head. That's where did I get the information? Because I can think, I can look, and I can hear. You know.
Well, all right. So you're a good reporter, Terry. Thank you very much. Thanks for being with us, and we'll look forward to more of your views there from the other side of the pond.
On the other side of the pond, right?
All right, Terry Broomfield. There.
He's gonna hack into your phone.
Yeah, you missed that, didn't you?
I didn't miss it. He said he'd hack into my phone if he had reason to hack into my phone. Good luck. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876. Phil will be right back.
Phil Hendry.